Welcome to the Prison and Sober podcast with your hosts, Sam Goldfinch and Ellie Crow. If you want to make your life bigger, not smaller, then this is the podcast for you. If you can sense that you're destined for more and you're curious about how drinking could be holding you back, listen in and come on this journey with us. Through the interplay of mind and body practices, we will help you elevate your daily life and discover the wonder and potential of going alcohol free. Let's make life bigger together.
Seeing how deep and introspective and like where it can take you within and what it unlocks for you. And then seeing it with my clients is just, it's like, it's so profound. And obviously, like, it's weird, right? I'm talking about there's parts of us, there's different aspects of us. They each have their own agenda. They have their own personalities, their own way of looking at the world.
Oh, team, there are lots of reasons to be excited about today's episode. First and foremost, we have the wonderful Cole Harvey with us, who I just have so much love for this man. I got to hang out with him in person a few weeks ago. And me and Ellie, we had so much fun. He's one of the funniest people ever. And he really gives a shit. Like, he's got such a big heart. It was so lovely to have this conversation. So we're talking about internal family systems, and I can't think of someone better to do it. There's a meditation in the middle as well. So just as a little, just to let you know, like, please, you know, pull over if you're driving the car and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, really make the time to go and kind of sit and be with Cole on his words. He's got the most beautiful, he's got a hypnotic voice. He's got such a wonderful, amazing, well, you're going to find out. You're going to find out. Yeah, this is just such a fantastic conversation. So you'll hear us as throughout the podcast, you'll hear us referencing that at the end of the podcast, we hung around with a group of people and Cole did some internal family systems kind of coaching. He was with someone from our membership there. And these are just a few of the things that we do. You know, we did this a little while ago. And of course, if you're a part of the membership and you're watching any of these podcasts live, then you'll always get to hang out at the end and ask questions or be a part of the workshop element, whatever it is that we're running. So yeah, just a huge thank you to Cole. And I know that everybody that was there was really touched by it. So yeah, if you want to hit the link in the show notes and come and check it out. It's a really wonderful way to support the podcast as well. It helps us reinvest and get the message out there and hopefully spread some more present and sober love into the world. All right, team, without further ado, I'll hand you over to me, Cole and Ellie. This is awesome. See you there.
Always ready. Whoa, it's Tuesday and I've got a belter. Mr. Sam is here too. And actually, we've got some audience members today. This is our second live podcast, Mr. Sam.
It is. This is exciting, isn't it?
It is. Did you tell everyone not to unmute themselves and swear? Well, you can swear, but maybe...
Yeah. Just for this bit. This might be a bit weird. We've got the swearing covered, don't worry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Nothing. I was going to say...
important.
Come on, over to you to introduce our fantastic guest.
Our fantastic guest. So... we have a much requested guest on the podcast. We are super excited about this. It's a subject that we're both fascinated by, want to know heaps more about, and we've got the perfect person to take us through it all. We've only got bloody Coach Cole here. Hello, Cole. How
hey,
are
y'all.
You?
Oh, it's an honor. I'm doing finer than frog's hair split four ways, and I am just honored to be here with y'all.
Oh, we're honored to have you, man. Like, we've been just talking about this for the last 2-3 weeks in the build-up. It's super exciting. And yeah, thank you for being the first person. Like, it's really special. This is a special moment, and it's really cool that you're here, man. So yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah, we really
pleasure's all mine.
And so today the subject matter is IFS, known as internal family systems. So you may have some knowledge of it, some understanding of it, or it may be something that's entirely new to you. But we're in good hands here. Cole's going to take us through what internal family systems is, and we're going to have a very exciting and interesting discussion, I am sure. But before we get into, the vegetables, because that's an old joke. We'll come back to that later. Before we get into the vegetables, Cole, can you just give us a bit of an intro to you? Because some folks will be familiar with you from the world of This Naked Mind. You're another This Naked Mind coach. But can you just give us a little bit of an intro for the folks that might not know you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do the, and you know, 20 words or less, I guess. I'm from a really small rural farming town in West Tennessee, southeastern part of the United States. Grew up around drinking, you know, it was just kind of in my life, my parents, all their friends, and just kind of saw that throughout my whole childhood. I think, and I didn't start drinking until I was in my 20s. And when I did that the very first time, it was like, man, it was like a warm hug. It was like all my tension went away. And I didn't realize it then, but I was like drinking for unmet grief. My father had died when I was 18, tragically and unexpectedly, and I just never dealt with that. And I remember the very first time I ever got drunk, it was just like, it was just that. And then it became just part of my identity. It became who I was. It was a way for me to connect to my father. It was a way for me to connect to my manhood, my sense of self. I had a skewed view of what the world was and what it meant to be a drinker. And, you know, I romanticized it like I was freaking Ernest Hemingway or something, you know, and it just became a big, big part of my life and who I was. I did some real world jobs for a bit. I was a teacher. I worked in the court system for a while, and then it just wasn't for me. I jumped into seasonal work in the hospitality industry. I was a cook. I was a maintenance man. I was a housekeeper, bartender, tour guide, server, all these things all over the country. And it happened to also be a industry where drinking, you know, work hard, play harder kind of thing was encouraged. And I was just drawn to that and drawn to that life. And, you know, alcohol did its job until it didn't anymore. Mm. And I, at one point, it was about 30, 31, realizing I think I got an issue here. And it took about another 6-7 years before I even made the attempt to stop. And I, by in that time frame, I just found myself in a deep, dark, apathetic, lost place. I just made my own prison of this place, and I was just adrift. I didn't have any purpose. I didn't have meaning. I was in a very tough situation, just mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually too. I mean, I was just in the darkest place I'd ever really been to, and pushed it to the edge, all the way to the edge, and peered over into that abyss, and just realized, you know, I think I'm going to get rid of this substance. And the one day that it really clicked, it was like November of 2019, and I was camping in the back of my vehicle. It was raining. It was cold. Had the back hatch open, and I was just sitting there. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. I was had a raging hangover. I had a saved a 24-ounce can of beer. So, you know, I mean, a big thing of beer, because I knew I was going to need it when I woke up in the morning. Sure enough, I got up, I cracked that open, and I'm just sitting there drinking it, watching the rain come down. And in my mind, almost an audible voice, but not quite. It was the line from Shawshank Redemption that came in and said, get busy living or get busy dying. Because that's the point you're at right now. Mm. There's no other way to go. And I was just like, okay, heard. All right, we'll do this. And I gave myself 6 weeks until January of 2020. I was like, I'm just going to do my thing. I'm going to continue to drink. I'm going to continue to go out, but I'm going to gear myself up for this. And every time I went out, every time I took a drink, every time I was out with friends, I was like, this stops January 1st. I'm going to give myself a year. I'm going to see who I am without this substance. I'm going to see who I am in all of life's aspects, the good and bad. Mm. And I said, no matter what happens, death, dismemberment, anything, I'm not going to drink in 2020. I'm going to find out what that means and dig into my own personal stuff. And I did. And yeah, it was a life-changing year. And by the end of that year, I said, okay, do I want to continue doing this? Do I want to stay alcohol free? And I said, yeah, let's do that. And then I was trying to find what I wanted to do in life, you know, all of that year. It took me about 6 months of that first year to figure out what I want to do, and another 6 months to even start doing it. And I was like, I want to be a coach. I want to help others that were just in this hellacious space that I was in. And I signed up for Andy Grace's coaches training and got accepted to that and have never looked back. And now I'm a alcohol and wellness coach for men who are in a similar spot that I was in, who are, you know, midlife, very disconnected from themselves, disgruntled, adrift, apathetic, and who are using alcohol to cope. And I, through this unique, judgment-free, deprivation-free approach, I help them co-create the life that they desire. And yeah, that is, you know, when you find the thing you're supposed to do in life, and it's just like, this is it. You are doing this now. And that's just where I found myself. And I'm thrilled and honored to be here, to be doing that.
Oh, dude. We are thrilled and honored too. It's amazing to think. I mean, there was a time where if someone had come and said to me, there'll come a time when you'll be grateful for everything that came before and you'll see how it all made sense and you'll see why it had to be that way. I think I would have probably just punched someone on the nose. Let's put it lightly or whatever, and said, like, do one, like, no way. But it's so wonderful to be in that place. And there's so much hope in that, man. I just love it. And I love that. I love that you gave yourself that year to explore. It's such a powerful thing to do, man.
I love how when you were looking at 2020, so you said death and dismemberment. Yeah. But you didn't mention the pandemic that was on its way.
right. Oh, yeah, I didn't know that at first, but yeah, that was my thing. It's like, I don't give a damn what happens in my life, what happens to me, what happens to others around me. I'm not going to drink because of it. And I knew I had to do that to find out who the hell I was. Yeah. You know, how do I respond to something like that? How do I handle it? And then work from that point. And then, yeah, it just happened to be the pandemic too, which for me was like kind of an upgrade to it. It wasn't a detriment at all. It was like, oh, sweet. So we all got to like stay inside and work on ourselves. That's what I'm doing anyway. Okay, great. Let's do that.
Yeah, message received. Thank you.
Yeah, heard. Thanks, universe. Appreciate that one. Like, thanks for looking out for me, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. I think for a lot of people, that was an interesting time. I think many people kind of went that way and many people found themselves in the abyss, right? They found it very difficult. But I mean, it's often when the lights go out that we find that light inside of us, you know, and I think that's very powerful. And dude, I'm struck in this moment. I'm sure it's the same for Ellie. Like, I've got so many questions. There's so many ways we could go with this. And I have a feeling this won't be the first time that we explore and discuss together. But where did you stumble across internal family systems? Because to me, from what I know of it, I can now see how it made so much sense to you based on everything that you'd experienced through your life. But where did you find this amazing medium of, yeah, how did that happen?
Yeah, it was just a few podcasts, a few different folks that I would kind of listen to. One guy, Eric Godsey in particular, but he was talking about that, and I guess what I'd been doing, like, during 2020, I started journaling again in like a way different way, like Julie Cameron's artist way kind of way, like stream of consciousness, you know, tapping into just letting this stuff bubble up and just writing it down, basically being a conduit for these things and exploring it. And in that process, I found different parts of myself. And I would like write from their perspective. I would write to them. And it was weird too. Like sometimes I would, when I would tap into it, whatever part needed to be heard, like my handwriting changed. Like the words that were coming out weren't like how I speak, you know? And to be honest, the first time it did it, it kind of freaked me out a little bit, right? But I was just giving these things voice. And then I heard about internal family systems, like, oh, okay, yeah, I think I've kind of been doing that in a rudimentary way. Mm-hmm. So when I first heard about it in like 2021, about along the same time, Sam, that you and I were in the training together.
Yeah.
I was like, this makes a lot of sense. And then I just looked into it a little more and a little more. And it was kind of always on the back burner. It's like, oh yeah, this thing. And there's this legion of personalities and parts of us that are there. It's not like a pathologizing thing. It's just a normal, universal thing that we all have. And the more I kind of had that in the back burner, like the more just kind of started to cement in. And then the more was like, you need to follow this thread. Like this has been here long enough. You know how there's been certain times in your life where you hear something enough, like a certain synchronicities keep popping up, or like something just sticks with you for so long. You know, sometimes things will come and go in my life, like different modalities and this and that, you know, but this stuck forever. And I was like, okay, well, let's follow that thread then. And so the end of 22 and all of last year was like a deep dive into it, doing a number of like courses and coursework and, yeah, really like incorporating that into my practice and seeing the results of it, both for myself. I mean, I got my own IFS coach. I've had an IFS therapist before I had to move out of state and all those rules and regulations took into effect. But in my own work, seeing how deep and introspective and like where it can take you within and what it unlocks for you. And then seeing it with my clients is just, it's like, it's so profound. And obviously like it's weird, right? I'm talking about there's parts of us, there's different aspects of us. They each have their own agenda. They have their own personalities, their own way of looking at the world. You know, they take on roles, they protect certain things, and you start getting into it and start explaining it, and it can be like, what the hell is he talking about, right? But it's so, it takes you, it maps your inner world. Mm. It's a way to map that inner landscape, unlike many other things I've come across. It gives you in return is just all this information and compassion and love for yourself and understanding of things within you.
Yeah, man. Just to draw like to shine a light on something that you said that I think is a worry for a lot of people. When you said it's not like pathological. It's not that we're, because I think a lot of people, they think, oh God, if I were to open up and share how many different parts of me, there's this part that's kind of like defensive, and there's the judgmental bit and the addicted bit and this bit, like they're just going to lock me up. Like if I were to let people know what was going on inside of me. But it's, you know, there's a true self underneath, right? But it's these parts are all there to be, they've got our best interest at heart, as I understand it. You know, they're not bad. Like I think, well, as my understanding of IFS is, you know, one of the key things is there are no bad parts. Some of them have been up to some funky stuff to try and get heard, but often it's because we have innocently judged or tried to exile these parts because we've felt shame or something. And once we start dialoguing with them and then let them back into the life, back into our, bring them back to life, if you like, and listen to them, we actually feel a lot more kind of cohesion in our inner landscape. But I don't know. Am I right in saying that?
Is
that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's just as far as like an overview of kind of how that internal structure lays out is, throughout our lives, various times in our lives, usually as a young child, right? We take on these burdens, these traumas, anything that's happened to us that we internalize and we make that mean something about us, right? I'm unlovable. I'm unworthy. You know, certain people aren't safe. You know, all these kind of things. We a part of us takes that on, and that burden is so heavy and so costly to the system that it has to be exiled. That has to be sent away, frozen, however, locked out of the system. And to do that, other parts of ourselves take on a role to manage that, to protect that, right? So you can have this exiled part here, and then like a, it can have a whole ring of protectors around it. And the two different kind of protectors that we normally have are managers and firefighters. Our managers are preemptive. They are more conscious about their future thinking. You know, they can show up in a number of ways. They can be critical. They can be like the go-getters. They can be judgmental. They can be that harsh voice, you know, these kind of things. They manage your day-to-day life. They manage this thing that they've exiled. They keep stuff away from it, outside circumstances and influences. But inevitably, something will trigger that exile. It will start to break out. It will erupt. And a lot of these things that these are like unconscious behaviors, things we don't really pinpoint in our lives, you know, that rule us. It's like Carl Jung said, when you don't make, if you don't make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. Mm-hmm. And that's these things, right? And so the point of IFS is to, one of the points of IFS is to get in there to befriend these protective parts, right? Because once that thing erupts, then we have another protector that comes into play, and that's the firefighter. Firefighters are reactive. They are concerned only with putting out the immediate threat. They do not care about the rest of the system as a whole. So that looks like drinking. Mm-hmm. That looks like gambling. That looks like over-exercising. It looks like overworking. They can take, like, you know, socially normal behaviors as well. It can look like rage. It can look like dissociation. And these things put the fire out in the only way that they know how, once the exile erupts, right? So, and you have this triangle of parts: managers, firefighters, exiles. What we do in IFS is to befriend these managers and firefighters, because they're working hard. They're doing a job that they're not really suited for. They're doing a job that they were burdened with in the first place. Mm-hmm. They don't want to do this job when you get in there and you find that out. They have fears of what would happen if they stopped doing this job.
Yeah.
And that's where the non-pathologizing comes in. That's where assuming positive intent with every part comes into play. That's why IFS is such a unique approach, because it doesn't take one side or another. It doesn't take the manager's side saying, you know, we shouldn't be drinking. You shouldn't be doing this because we know it's bad. And you don't say, oh yeah, you're totally right. And we don't then berate the part of us that drinks. It's learning each side's story, building a relationship with each one of those. Mm-hmm. And then gaining their trust, which can take a long time. Because sometimes you're showing up to an exile or to a manager, to a firefighter. They don't know who you are. They've never seen you. They don't trust you. Who is this person? Like, and you have to earn their trust to get to the exile. The point of getting to the exile is to release its burdens that it carries. Mm-hmm. Once that happens, the firefighters, the managers, they can go back to doing what they want to do. They don't have to do that job anymore. They don't have to work so hard. They don't have to be on overtime and overdrive all the time. And we offer that hope to the firefighters and to the managers. And we go into these places with the self, like you were saying, Sam, that we all have. Mm. This capital S self, mm-hmm, that's universal. That's the unbreakable, undamaged, whole, good core that is in everybody. Mm. And we lead with that. Now, I know how that sounds too, right? that's hard to tap into for a lot of us, because the self is obscured. We forget that it's there. Our parts forget that it's there. And, you know, the self in IFS is characterized by the eight C's. It's calm, clear, curious, compassionate, courageous, confident, creative, and connected. That's all within us. We all have that, every single one of us. But I say a lot of times the self is like the sun. It's always shining. It's always there. We may think it's obscured. It may be cloudy. It may be nighttime. We may have put ourselves way down in a deep cave and don't believe that the sun's there anymore. But it is. And the self shines freely to all of us, to all our parts, to us, and it asks nothing in return. It has no agenda. And that's what we use to connect with in order to lead the way into a IFS session as we develop relationships with our part, as we unburden exiles, as we make our system more harmonious again, is to become self-led in that way.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, I love it. I mean, I might be wrong, man. Correct me if I am. My understanding was that, is it Richard Swartz that first looked in this direction? That he kind of, when he first came to this, it kind of felt very kind of psychiatry-ish to him, if you like. And then over time, it became this very spiritual thing for him. He started to understand, like, oh, wow, like at the root of this. What I love so much about this, I mean, I share an understanding that, you know, around the three principles a lot, and I talk about that a lot. Not a conversation for today, but one of the cool things about that is that the true self is subtractive, right? Because so many of us think, like, oh God, I need to learn, I need more patience, I need more love, I need more clarity, more courage, I need more of the eight C's. I'm lacking them. I need them, and I'm going to go on a mission in the world to find them. When actually it's subtractive, it's all right there. It's absolutely in our core. It's in our heart. We don't need to. It doesn't run out. It's never gone anywhere. It's no matter how long we've felt disconnected from that space, it's still absolutely flowing, just like the sun. And as you know, it sounds to me like the more we kind of talk to these parts, the more there's just room for that light to start shining, and more like shadow puppets kind of getting out the way. And there's just kind of this like more bright version of us. And, you know, I was on a call a few weeks ago and someone said, you know, no matter how long we've been struggling, or no matter how long we've been lost, we're always one insight or one thought away from recognizing truth or wisdom. And I think that's what can happen when a part feels heard, I guess, is that suddenly there's a clearing, there's a space, and things, there's room for that light to shine. So yeah, no, I know a little bit about this, but I love how you shared that. And that's what strikes me so much about it, is that it looks like it speaks to the heart of all the spiritual traditions that say, you know, this is not an additive journey. This is subtractive. Back home, back to the truth of who you are and who you've always been, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well said too. That's exactly it. It's what philosophies and religions point to. This is just another thing saying you have this core within you. It's uncovering it, right? It's an excavation.
Yeah.
You are the archaeological dig site, and you're just uncovering this thing that's there, and you start just uncovering a little more. And a great place to begin with is curiosity. You know, we talk about this all the time as coaches, and when you do an IFS session, and you're curious and compassionate. Curiosity and compassion, those are the two big ones, right? And we talk about showing ourselves curiosity and compassion all the time. And I'll take clients through an IFS-led session, and it's like, this is a big way of doing it. And it's not, as y'all know, it's not as easy as it sounds, right? To be curious and compassionate to what you find in there. And to be curious and compassionate to the other parts of you that are yammering away as you're trying to connect with another one, right? Like, oh, don't go over here. That one's an asshole, or, you know, I'm really scared of that. I don't want to go over there. We should get rid of it, and don't talk to it, right? Like, all of that, all your parts are welcome. And when we're in a session like that and they start popping up, we don't say, go away, right? We turn our attention toward them. We're being curious. Thank you for being here. Thank you for showing up. What do you need me to know? Do you have a concern? Is there any reason why we shouldn't talk to this? And every session, you're mapping even more and more. So there's never like a wrong way to do it. You might start out wanting to go over here to talk to this, but you end up over here. That's fine. Because we're just being curious and going in a flow, letting the protectors determine the level of the work too. We aren't pushing anything. And we're seeing what comes up with that curiosity, with that compassion, with that self in the lead. And then, like you said, it opens up more and more once these protective systems start to trust and see the self, see it there doing its thing, holding space, witnessing, no agenda, no judgment, no criticism, just there to listen, just there to learn, to understand. Then more and more parts start to let it take the lead and they loosen their reins a little bit. And then we become more self-led and more introspective in that regard.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm amazed at what you've been able to share in what's, you know, was just watching the time, like in quite a short space of time. And the thing that's wonderful here is all of these delightful folks that are in the audience today are going to get the opportunity to be part of a live IFS session with Cole. So for the folks that aren't in the audience, you need to come and join the membership so you can be part of that. But for the folks that are listening into the podcast and are live with us here right now, where this has piqued somebody's interest and they're feeling that pull to look into IFS in whatever way, shape or form, what are the things that you think people need to know, like in terms of how they might find a practitioner to work with, what they might expect in a session? You mentioned earlier on about how, like, it can take some time, you know, like we're all impatient, aren't we? Like want the results today. But what you said makes a lot of sense in that where parts of us have been, like where they're working independently and we haven't got dialogue, we haven't got relationship there, it's going to take time to make that connection, potentially to rebuild trust, to open dialogue. So I just wonder if you can give like a little bit of a frame as to what people could expect and kind of a little bit of guidance for the folks that aren't going to benefit immediately from going through a session.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if we got like a few minutes, we could do a quick meditation that would really kind of show, like give somebody like an experiential thing. I can tell you and talk about it, but I think just a little more of an experiential thing if y'all are into it.
Badass.
We got just a few minutes. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and this is one. So I pulled up from Richard Schwartz himself. And this is just kind of getting to know a protector, right? This is just a very, very basic. We're just going to go in with a little curiosity. I always tell clients, it's like, we started at a trailhead, right? We are, we're out of the car. We got our backpacks on. We're at the trailhead and we're just going to start walking down the trail. Now you may be moving toward this one thing that you know is down the trail that you want to get to know. And along the way, things might come out of the woods, out from behind the rocks and be like, hey, I don't feel comfortable with y'all going over there talking to him, or, hey, I'm really scared of him, or we don't want that. Like I was saying, right? So in this meditation, it's going to be kind of like that. You may have a place you want to go, but something else may come up. Either way is fine. So we're just going to turn our curiosity toward that. So yeah, y'all cool with doing a quick
Minute
meditation? Yeah.
My pals are okay. Singing for this. Absolutely.
Awesome. Great. Well, good. We will do this really quick. And like I said, this, you can probably even look this up online to Richard Schwartz. If you just do like Richard Schwartz IFS meditation, there'll be stuff like this showing up. So let's just take a moment and just arrive in your body, being here and now. And take a moment just to take a few deep breaths. And just letting your breath anchor you to this moment. Let it connect you to your body. Now scan your body, scan your mind, and just note any particular thought, emotion, sensations, or impulses that stand out. We're just going to notice and see if you can allow yourself to separate from it just a bit. And as you do this, see if one of those thoughts or emotions or sensations stands out or seems to want your attention more than others. And just focus on that. And where do you notice it? In or around your body? How is it showing up physically for you? Does it have a sensation to it? Is it heavy? Is it humming or radiating? Does it have a color or a shape? We are just noticing and describing it as best we can. Feeling it as best we can. Just allowing it. Now, I want you to notice how you feel toward it. Do you dislike it? Fear it? Do you want to get rid of it? Do you depend on it? Just notice the relationship you have with it. If you feel anything besides openness and curiosity, ask if the other feelings or thoughts or sensations coming up can relax and give you a little space. We simply want to feel and understand this part of us that originally wanted our attention. Now, if you can't get to that curious place, that's okay. You can turn your curiosity towards the parts that don't want to step back. And either way, whether it's with a part that won't step back or with the original feeling, let's extend that curiosity toward it and ask it a question. Now, when you ask this question, don't think of the answer. Instead, sit silently and allow the answer to arise from the place in your body where you feel it. So ask it this question. Ask if there is something it wants you to know about itself. Now you may not receive an answer, and that's okay. Whether or not it responds, extend gratitude toward it. Just connect with it in that space. Send it appreciation because it has allowed you insight either way. And you have now begun forming a relationship with this part of yourself. And take the time that you need. And when you're finished, you can open your eyes. All right, y'all.
Got a wonderful voice for meditations, Carl.
Thank you.
I do want to say I'm sorry about the dog snoring. They were snoring really loudly through the whole thing.
That's all right. That's awesome. Good buddies.
Wow.
So how was that? Did that give you a little insight?
Yeah, it's very cool. It's wonderful to come into something that's embodied. And I think for so many of us, we've kind of instantly been so disembodied, right? And then realize that because we're so used to the voice in our head. But I think so many of these, you know, the parts, they're kind of talking to us from other places somatically, which is kind of cool.
Connecting with it. Feeling in your body is the first step, I feel like. And that's where I usually take clients. Like, okay, let's explain it to me. Tell me how you feel it, where you feel it, what does it look like? Getting to know it, you know, very first step in a session like that. So, and then connecting with it, talking with it, seeing how we feel toward it, right? Because there will be other parts that'll come up. Right. How are you feeling toward it? I don't like it. Okay. Sounds like a part's here that doesn't like it. Does it need us to know that? Does it have a concern? Would it be okay to step back and let us continue? And either way, either answer you get, you just go with that. If it's yes, great. Thank you. If it's no, okay. What do you need me to know? Where do you feel that in your body? Tell me where that part's coming up now. See, there's no like hard and fast. You got to go here and you got to stay on this course. You always veer off and let these other parts of us that need to be heard, be heard.
Gosh, Carl, the thing that I love so much about it is just how gentle it is. Just, you know, you mentioned earlier about not pushing, you know, I think for so many of us, we've operated from a place of like seeing problems and then needing to fix them. And you'll have heard the same thing that we hear regularly around, oh, I've got a lot of work to do. People always say things like that. And these sorts of modalities that are just so gentle and allow us to go at a pace that makes sense to us and that is appropriate. I know how transformative this stuff can be. And you have a real gift that just in that short meditation, the place that I was personally able to go was just profound. So thank you. This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I sort of feel bad now that, well, it's like a double-edged sword. I kind of feel bad that we're going to be turning the recording off for the folks that are on the podcast, but I feel very excited for the, guinea pigs.
Just quickly before we do that, Cole, if anyone's been listening into this and they want to come and find you and stuff like that, how do people find your cool stuff? Website, socials, all that stuff.
Cole Harvey Coaching, ColeHarvey, ColeHarveyCoaching.com. And Instagram stuff. I'm Cole Harvey Coaching. I hadn't been on there in a long time, but you might get on there and not see stuff from recently. That's just because I'm pretty lazy on that and kind of lost interest in it. But I got tired of it a little bit, but I'm getting that back. So my website, ColeHarveyCoaching.com will give you, I got more information just on IFS, on IFS coaching, what it can do for you. You can read my story. You can book a discovery call, free discovery call with me if you want to. Yeah, that's the best way to get in touch with me.
I love a one-stop shop, just like one place to go to find all the stuff. That's cool. Right. Yeah. So
Can I just ask a very quick question? What would you say the difference is? Like if somebody is interested in IFS, clearly, you know, you can go to a practitioner that's a therapist or a practitioner that's trained as a coach. So what might the difference be? Like, how would you determine which way to go?
Yeah. So if you go to like the IFS Institute, they have a directory of folks and they have levels 1, 2, and 3. Some of them are coaches, some of them are therapists. It doesn't really matter. It didn't. Now they've actually closed it to only licensed professionals to receive training there. But for a long time, it didn't matter. Like you could have a level 3 coach and you could have a level 2 therapist, you know.
Oh, okay.
Therapy's therapy, right? And coaching is still going to be pretty much the same. I've had an IFS coach and an IFS therapist before. Same stuff, getting into the same stuff. But with coaching, especially around with alcohol, I add more this Naked Mind methodology, more coaching, proactive, forward facing, right?
Yeah.
As with the therapy, you know, it's very much digging into the past. But with IFS, you do that a little. You go in to unburden those things and then to move everything forward in a more harmonious state. So, there wouldn't be much difference between what I do, what an IFS coach does and a therapist does. I work with exiles, all the deeper stuff as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness me. Thank you so much, Cole. This has just been
fabulous.
Really fabulous.
Yeah, my pleasure, y'all.